Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for being here with your hostess, Lisa Marie, here on Stars of Heaven Network 22. And I tell you what a wonderful Wednesday it is. And I am excited to be here once again to share more of what the Holy Spirit is saying to his beloved bride, the sheep of his pasture. And I am excited and honored to be here to share this impartation with you on behalf of the First Fed, the finest of, and that is in celebration of the Truth is Bread ministry. And I am always excited when I come to you from this program because it is one that the Lord gave me in for intercession of children. And I tell you, one of the things that the Word of God declares and speaks of a lot is children. And oftentimes they are not edified in the way that they should in the body of Christ because being adults, we are so caught up with our adult stuff that oftentimes they're not giving the true ministry that they need. And I've always understood that. By way of the Holy Spirit, he gives me the importance of ministering to children. He declared in his word, but such is the kingdom of heaven. And truly we should not suffer children to come unto him and forbid them not the kingdom of heaven. And in fact, Jesus had to rebuke the disciples for being too busy and wanting to not give the children the attention they need. And so I'm excited to minister this on today, especially with the children, many of the children going back to school. This was birthed as an intercession piece when they return. And so this year, 2022, is no different. And I tell you, I've had a lot of impartations in him preparing me for this exhortation one being Blessed Mother and her presence as I'm celebrating her deity, her graces, being the Fatima, Mother of God, Mother of all creations. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to just minister from the Children's Bread Ministry and declare all that. So I have included the website for the first bread, the finest of wheat. And I'm excited to declare what the Lord has said in this season as relates to the Children's Bread. And I entitled this message, Grapes and Grains. Hallelujah, because we are in the grape season. We're in the season of the vineyard. And this is a very important time in the agricultural calendar, a very important time in our sowing and reaping. And I'm really excited to get into and minister what this means and how it relates to us being his first fruit, me being his first fruit. And so I'm going to start off by the declaration that I was given when I birthed the Children's Bread Ministry, and that is deliverance is the children's bread. Deliverance is children's bread, and deliverance is the birthright of any generation. However, it is the mission of the devil to rob this generation and future generations of this deliverance, and that is because of and due to false truth, traditions as well, because as overseers, who've been given the responsibility, whether you've been a parent, whether you're a step-parent, a believer in Christ, our responsibility is to oversee, protect the gifts and the talents that God has given and put in our children, and to make sure those gifts are cultivated according to the Holy Spirit and according to the will of God for their life. And a lot of times we miss that because as parents, you know, a lot of times we are only giving them what has been handed down to us, and that's tradition. And it's nothing wrong with tradition if it's in truth and it's in spirit, and it brings growth and elevation. That's wonderful. So the thing that the Lord is still saying in the year 2022 and really is highlighting is the importance of making sure that being spirit-filled believers, having a true relationship with God, Father God, is in spirit and in truth. And that's by the way of the Holy Spirit revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's a beautiful thing because it is by our covenant, our new covenant that we have with God, Father God, by reconciliation. Now, excuse me, I'm burping again. Always burping when I get on air. Oh my goodness. Okay. Not just their gifts, but also their soul identity. Because now more than ever, it's the enemy trying to rob our children of their identity at such an early age. God created them as living souls, and he gave them their identity, male and female. And so this is something that we have to be careful of in making sure our children are not being seduced or deceived or demonically influenced in the enemy trying to change their identity and making sure that they understand who they are. And that comes from the source and the place of the soul. And it's going to take truly have a relationship with God and understanding the assignment of the enemy and perverting them and turning them from their true nature and their true identity. Now, the thing that I love about the Children's Bread Ministry, when the Lord gave me this, he was, again, declaring that deliverance is the Children's Bread. And I am a child of God. I'm a child of light, and deliverance is my bread. And bread is a staple. Bread is a staple. Bread is the thing that completes any meal. And no meal is really complete without bread. it's nothing like bread in a meal with pasta or dinner rolls or croissants the cornbread. It's just a staple, and it's a filler. And so I love the analogy that God, Jesus gave in declaring himself as the bread of life. And when he said that I am the bread of life, he was saying that I'm food for you. Because, again, bread is a filler just like vegetables are. It's a filler. I'm food for you. Not only food, but drink. So this thing where the enemy wants to make man food, he said, no, I'm now your bread. I'm now your food. And so in John, the sixth chapter, the 29th through the 36th verse, Jesus is answering and is saying and declaring unto his disciples and those who followed him that his work was the work of God that believe it on him whom he had sent. And in verse 30, he's saying, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we must see and believe thee? What doest thou work? And so in verse 31, he's saying to them and answering, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread of heaven. For the bread of God is he which coming down from heaven. So he was saying that according to tradition and according to Moses in the Old Testament, he was basically on the natural, what their fathers did. But now that he is the bread of life, which coming down from heaven, he said, I am the bread that giveth life unto the world. So he's now let them know that our bread is not just the bread of man based on substance and possession. It is now spiritual. And he spoke in the parables to give them understanding of what it means of him being the true bread. And so in verse 34, he says, then said he unto them, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, they that ye also have seen me and believe not. And if we hunger and believe not. And I added this caption, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled, which is also fulfilled in Matthew's testament where he says, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So the fulfillment of being satisfied, the bread of life, which Jesus is. And the word of God also declares that we're not to labor not for the meat that perish, but we're to labor for the meat that endure to eternal life. So that's meat, drink, bread, water. Jesus, all of it. He's all of it. And the way to receiving righteousness is to hunger and thirst for it. And so I wanted to start off with that. That if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. And that is not based on performance. But again, we cannot earn the righteousness of God. None is righteous, not one. I became righteous through Christ Jesus. I am righteous through his righteousness. Because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now, I'm going to go on down to the next part of the sharing in this exhortation where the Lord began to, and Blessed Mother began to minister to me. and began to give me this in honor of the elect lady and her children who live in obedience. And that's what I am. I am a mother spiritually. I am a birther. And so when I began to pray, and he began to give me utterance on what he wanted me to minister, this came up. And what was happening as I was in prayer, there was a great moaning and groaning. And so I thought myself, I knew I was birthing something, and something was being birthed. And the word of the Lord came to me from 2 John, 1 through the 10th verse. And when he was speaking about the elect lady and her children who live in obedience to the Father of all creation. And so this season is a time of birthing. There's a great birthing happening even in the earth realm, where there is a changing of the guards. There is a newness that's being birthed. And that is coming by pains. Birth pains by the work of the enemy, what we see in so much death. And so it's really important now that we cover our children, cover our households, and that only can be by individually us having a relationship with Father God. This really is a one-on-one thing, and it's by way of the intercession of the mothers and those who God has elected and chosen. So I'm going to read quickly 2 John, the first through 10th verse, where St. John is extolling and blessing and honoring the elect lady in that church, where he says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth. And not I only, but also they that have known the truth. And you see, again, this is a time of great truth. Not just based on the word of God, but in this season, truth is being magnified and truth is being revealed, and that only can be revealed by the light. And so this is what God, Father God is saying was saying to this particular church, that not only he loved the elect lady and her children, but those who also have known the truth. It goes on to say in verse 2, for truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. You can't seek truth from the ether and from the universe. It has to dwell in you. And you only can get truth by desiring it. And that comes by the process of the heart and God opening your eyes. You have to want the truth. Because again, the word of God says, many love darkness rather than light. Least they come to the light and they need to be reproved. So meaning love darkness rather than light, because they don't want to be reproved. They don't want to be revealed. They don't want to be exposed. They love it. They love that darkness. They love the sin that comes with that and the demonic stuff that comes with that. And that's fine. I'm going to keep it over there and not over here. All good. Now, he was saying that for truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Hallelujah. Grace be unto you. Mercy, peace. From the God of Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Father, Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to summarize this because he was just basically extolling and giving praises to the elect lady and her children. Because, again, everything that happens in the earth realm is birthed by the true or the false. And we know that if there's the elect lady and her children in obedience, then there is the great mother of harlots, Jezebel, and her offspring, which are the children of disobedience, the darn stars and all the like. So the thing that we want to make sure is that if you are a daughter of our Blessed Mother, that truth should be your shield and buckler. You should delight in truth. And not only the truth, but in love. Love, 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 because truth works by love. Now, In verse 7, he goes on to say, for many deceivers, this is why he says all this, for many deceivers have entered the world who confess not the Lord Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver. And the verse 8, he says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So that means to be watchful, prayerful, not to lose those things which we've obtained by our faith, by our trials or tribulations, by our steadfastness, by our obedience to God and his words. He goes on to say, whosoever transgresses and abided not in the doctrine of Christ had not God. He that abided not in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. And if there become any unto you, preach any of the gospel, not destruction, receive them not into your house, neither get them, beat them Godspeed. Now, the next passage of my insert of this exhortation is basically saying what I just said about Blessed Mother's intercession, which I could feel and I could hear her praying from the throne of Christ, from her elevated position. Her intercession is now being made for the new Americans, which is the new heaven and new earth, descended from God, like a bride adorned from a husband, from the throne of Christ. And again, Isaiah 66, the 5th through the 14th verse, is what he gave me as it relates to the birthing. And I'm going to skip down and go to verse 6, and I'm going to read verse 9, where he says, a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendered recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before she pained, came she, was delivered of a man child, who had seen such things. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And that's exactly what God is saying in this hour and this time. It's time to travail. It's time to get to the threshing floor. Shall I bring forth? Shall I bring to birth and cause not to bring forth? God says, so we have an expected end. We can expect God to do what he said he's going to do in this season. And he goes on to say, he commands and says, to rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all that mourn for her. So this is a time for us of great joy, because we shall bring forth in the new year. We shall bring forth now that which God has purposed in the coming season. Now I'm going to go down to where I wanted to share with you about the grape season. The grape season has been restored by the true vine, Christ Jesus. And the importance of the grape season, as well as the grains, which is now all together. I know that the calendar, agricultural calendar, is there, but Jesus came to bridge that gap. And we have the grapes and the grains all in one, because the grain, again, is the bread, but the grapes speak of the wine. And that's why he introduced the Holy Sacrament, the Lord's Supper, and why he said, take, eat of my body, this is broken for you, here is drink of my wine, drink of the blood, which represents the new wine of the New Testament. He combined the two. And all that you do this in remembrance of me. So he was saying that this is a season, that the grape season has been restored by him being the true vine, and Father God being the husbandman. So we have coverage. You're covered by Jesus himself being the true vine and Father God being the husbandman who looks over the vine to make sure they're watered make sure they are pruned. Now, this is a very important season because as we move into the new year, because we see that the grape harvest is the thing that will produce the wine. And if the grapes are destroyed, there can be no wine. And according to the harvest of grapes, it usually occurs in the fall, in August to September, and that the grapes begin to grow, and that is in the spring in some regions. This is important because Jesus taught the parable of the fig tree and the grapes, and this speaks of what? Timing. And that's why it's so important for us to be vigilant and sober, because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion who may devour, and that's why it's so important for you to know what your stewardship is, what he called you to do. He can't quicken you if you don't know what the will of the Lord is, if you're lost, if you're deceived, if you're misplaced. You can't know if you're in sin. Sin in God's time is very important, and our time of season is in his hands. And so I want to give you Luke 13, chapter 6 through the 9th verse. This is what he gave me. Is it speaks to timing. And it speaks to our stewardship, our privileges, our patriots, our arms, which September, the new year, brings a new log. It's a new log in for our stewardship. It's a new cycle, a new book, a new chapter that he's now going to now it's now opening up for us for the new year. And this is again what he said in the parable of the fig tree. Then he began telling them this parable. A certain man had a fig tree that had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the vineyard keeper, for 3 years have I come looking for fruit on this fig tree and have found none. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground, depleting the soil, blocking the sunlight? But he replied to him, let it alone, sir, just one more year until I dig around it and put it fertilizer. And if it bears fruit after this, fine. But if not, cut it down. And that's exactly what God is doing right now. Some things, it's not going to the next season because they have not produced fruit, according to the word of God. Not according to the people's, how many people in your church, how much money you're making. No, fruit meaning the soul and how they're producing fruit, manifesting the nature of Christ, the nature of God. Time limit on that. That's why the seasons are so important. That's why the calendars are so important. That's why your stewardship is so important. He's the one that gives us command. He's the one that commissioned us. So man can't determine your times and seasons. Man can't dictate what you should be doing. Only God can do that. And he does that by his word. So this is what he was saying to me, that many are being cut down and hewn down and not bearing fruit. And, of course, he's this fruit inspector. He's the fruit inspector, and he's saying that, again, as the parable says, you're depleting the soil, you're blocking the sunlight, you're a hindrance, you're a stumbling block to other believers, you're reproach, you're not needed. So he's cutting it down. And the thing is, we have to be able to identify those who are no longer useful, because, again, you have the hypocrite, false prophet that's still preaching the word of God. And if you can't discern that Ichabod is screaming, having a party, throwing a party in these churches that your leader has been set down by God, but yet they're still up there because they only have their own personal agenda, then you're going to miss your harvest. You're just going to be deceived and forfeit your whole destiny and everything else God has for you. Okay? So I wanted to read that. Now, I wanted to add 2 Corinthians because this is really important in understanding and coming into your new stewardship for 2023. 57:83. Because, again, the anointing, Jesus, the apostle, the chief apostle, according to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 14th verse, he said, now he provides seed for the sower, and bread for food will provide, and multiply your seed for sowing. Now he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food provide and multiply your seed for sowing. He says that is your resources and increase the harvest of your what? Righteousness. Not your works and your deeds. Not you giving somebody a $100,000 offering, a $10 offering, $5 offering. According to your righteousness, will he increase your harvest, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. Not who you networking with. In goodness, kindness, and love, it is active, which means manifestation. Hallelujah. Now, verse 11, he says, you will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous. And this generosity is administered through us in producing thanksgiving to God from those who benefit from what? The ministry of this service, which is what? An offering. Which is what Brother Christ means to me. It's nothing but offering. I birth Brother Christ as simply an offering and a thank you to God. And not only has it for 14 years supplied the needs of the saints, which is God's people, but it's also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And that's why I do the monthly offerings. Because it's my expression of love and thanksgiving to God so that you may benefit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 13 says, because of this act of ministry, because of my act of ministry, act of love, they will glorify God for your obedience. Not your sacrifice, because obedience is better than sacrifice, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which you confessed. Which I confess, as well as for your generous participation in this gift for them and for all the other believers in need. And that also long for you while they pray on your behalf, while you intercede for me, while you pray for me, as you bless the Lord for my ministry, as you bless the Lord for my service in him. Because of the surpassing measure of God's grace. It's only by the grace of God that I'm able to come minister God's word and bless you. He says, being undeserved favor, mercy, and blessings, which is revealed in you, So everything that God does is revealed to us by his favor, his unmerited favor. And everything God is doing and saying, it's according to what you have, not according to what you have not. If I didn't have the goods, if I wasn't the first fruits, I wouldn't be able to minister to you and be edified. Now, let me hurry up because I have a little bit more to go. Oh, I have a lot more to go. Oh, my goodness. Let me see what time it is. Okay. Let me start paraphrasing here for the sake of time. I don't like doing part two to stuff. I like getting it done, one and done. I don't like doing part two and three if I can help it. Okay. Okay. Again, Jesus taught himself, Jesus declared himself to be the bread of life, and I am his first fruit. And this comes by obedience, which produces the harvest. And I gave you Psalms 147, 7 through 14 verse. You can read that in your own timing. Now, I'm going to get to the part where he says, he gave me the alarm. He gave me the warning. I have to read this. This alarm is for the bride church to watch and beware of the little foxes that come to spoil your vine. And the fox, the little fox that comes to spoil the vine could be anything that's in you that's hindering God from blessing you, sin, procrastination, fear, deception, bewitchment. But in this case, he was saying that as it relates to the body, he was speaking of the false prophet, the hireling, which means hired by Baal, who intent is to make merchandise of you. And this also includes the wolf in sheep clothing. Now, Jesus said, I am, meaning me, the true heir of Christ Jesus, and what the Holy Spirit has imparted to the bride church is not to be given and mixed with dogs, which is what my declaration is for the Children's Bread Ministry broadcast, is to teach our children and for you to know who you are. Because Jesus talked about the hypocrite and greedy dogs never having enough. And that how important it is for us to know those who labor among you, and how important it is for you to test the Spirit by the Spirit to see whether it be of God. Don't believe everything you hear. Yeah, in order for us to have our full vine, we must, again, watch as well as pray and abide in the vine. Now, he was saying that in coming to the and preparing for the entrance into the new year, it's important for us to understand that all we have to simply do is ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock, and that's why I gave you Matthew, the 7th chapter, 6 through the 20th verse. I'm going to skip down to I gave you also Song of Solomon that talks about the little foxes, that our grapes are tender and beloved. And let me say this before I close. Each of us are in different places in our on the vine. We're not all at the same place, which is the problem with tradition and religion and spiritual people who always try to lump people in the same thing. I am a individual. I'm coming here based on my witness, my testimony. I'm not tied to anybody, no one's tied to me. Bride's Christ Ministry, its own entity. That's it, that's all. I came from God, I'm Mr. from God, from the throne himself. So you need to know that. Know where you are on the vine. Even though we all are together, we're clustered, God knows our grapes, which represents what? The body, the fivefold ministry gifts. But for that, you can go to Corinthians, and we talked about the different gifts and diversities of gifts and administration and all that wonderful stuff. But this is what he was saying about you and your vineyard. Got to watch it while it's prey, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And you got to know how to watch, know how to pray. Now, Jesus said this, and I'm going to close with this. John, the 12th chapter, where he says, when he talks about, except a grain of wheat, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it battled alone. And that's the most important thing that I can say in closing this message. In order for there to be a new, there has to be a dying, the work of the cross, the work of salvation. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is a process. Every day, all day, any season. And we all are different in different places. Some people are dying. Some people are being resurrected. That's why you have to know your process of where you are. And don't connect to people that are in a different place in their life than you are. And that's not a bad thing, as long as they're not a hindrance. Because the whole thing about being a believer is to edify each other and have the Word of God as our staple, our bread, and have the Holy Spirit as the resurrecting power to help get us to our next place of glory. And so in conclusion of this, I was really excited, and the Lord told me that he had anointed me with new wine and fresh oil. He reminded me that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and he said that I have anointed you for such time as this. And I wanted to leave you with Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse, where he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy increase. In doing so, thy barns will be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And I leave you with that. Honor the Lord with whatever you have. Give it to him. Give it to him first. Give it up to God. Hold it up to God. Let him bless it and break it. I tell you, he's never failed me. I know no lack because I'm grateful. Yes, there's more. I want the more. I want the complete fulfillment of everything God has for me. I want to be put in my land. I want a house, a home, all that. I want a marriage. I want all that. And it's going to come. It's manifesting. But it's in the timing. But in this time, as we prepare to move into 2023, the new calendar, which we are now, I hope you're laying the foundation. I hope you're at the threshing floor, allowing the Lord to give you that foundation where he can build upon, which Jesus is, and know that your stewardship, your privileges, your patrons, your homages, your finances, it's going to come by the word of God. And it's going to come by faith and obedience to what he tells you to do with your seed sown. So again, don't let your seed be seduced by the great harlot or the howling. Give God your finances. Give God every area of your life. Because now the books are open. There's a new chapter he's writing. And as he said in the parable, he's been there for 3 years and he has not produced anything. It was time for it to get cut down. So God's grace and mercy is sufficient, but it's not going to last forever. That's why it's important for us to be caught up with him in the spirit. We have to catch up to God. God is not catching up to us. And in order to do that, we have to lay aside every weight and sin that will so easily beset us. And let the Holy Spirit develop you. Develop your relationship with God. Develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit by way of communicating with him and communing with him. And you can do that in joy. You can do that in joy in everyday life with your interest. It's a joyous thing. So with that, I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. I'm at 4503 on the time, and I'm excited. I'm excited about what the Lord is saying and doing in your life. I release the blessings upon you in Jesus' name. If you don't know the Lord, depart your sins. Now's the time to accept him by your confessing him as your personal Lord and Savior. From your heart, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, he said, thou shalt be saved. With that, I'll be your peace, blessing, much love, and I will speak to you soon. Take care. Love you. And love always.